If you have your Bibles tonight, turn with me, please, to the book of Revelation, chapter number 3. A little while back, we were started in on the doctrine of the Holy Spirit on Wednesday night, and then I kind of got hung up when I looked at the scripture where over and over and over in these seven churches, the Bible said, "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." And I know one thing, if all we ever hear at Bible Way is what the pastor saith, we're in trouble. But if we can have an ear to hear what the Spirit saith. Amen. I preached Sunday morning on the dangers of sleeping in the ship. Three or four different people in person told me, "Pastor, if it wasn't for anybody else, it was for me." And then I had a man on the phone, talking to him on the phone on Sunday night. And he told me on the phone, he says, "Brother Rick, we've been asleep for over a year." I'm telling you, folks, God's word will get the job done if we have ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say unto the churches. Amen. Let's look tonight at chapter 3 in the book of Revelation, and we're going to talk a little bit about the church at Sardis. And again, probably one of the most important things we could do as we approach Bible school next week is pray. Amen. I hope you'll spend time in prayer and asking God to help us, amen, in the Bible school. The Bible said, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember therefore how thou hast fallen," "Remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Thou hast a few names even in Sardis which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk worthy with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." If correctly read, that's verse 1 through 6 in chapter number 3. Pray with me a moment, would you? Father in heaven, I want to thank you for this wonderful day you've blessed us with. Thank you for these wonderful people that have come tonight on prayer meeting night, Lord, to pray and, Lord, to look into your word. I pray, Lord, you'd speak to our hearts tonight and help us. Lord, I pray that you'll just comfort the families, our Father, that are bereaved. I pray, Lord, that you'd work in our hearts. Help us to be what we can, Lord, what you want us to be in these days, our Father. Lord, we just pray now that you'll give us a great Bible school next week, the Word of God to go forth. Lord, we pray that all the young'uns will be safe and that some of the young'uns will be saved next week, Lord. That sure would be a blessing, our Father. Make it worth it all. We ask you now, Father, to help us tonight. Clothe us in our calling, our Father. Lord, the flesh truly indeed is weak, but the Spirit is willing. Help us tonight, we pray, in thy name. Amen and amen. Again, appreciate you being here. I want to bring your attention to a few things just by way of introduction, a little bit of history about the church at Sardis. There's a connection between this city, Sardis, and money. And I'm sorry, Brother Mark, that Brother Greg ain't here, because in my notes they said easy money. It was a city where it was known for luxury and a life of ease. Amen. And Sardis was the place where that modern money was born. I didn't know that until I studied. And this city was also well known for its softness and its luxury. Years ago, I took my first church, and I hadn't been working with tools for some time, and I got out the pick and the mattock, and I needed to dig a ditch and a shovel. And I ran into my dad that weekend, and I showed him the blisters that I had on my hands. And he had one word to say. He said, "Candy." Amen. And so this city was known for their softness. Amen. I tell you what, if you want to shake hands with somebody that's not soft, shake hands with Turtle or Brother Michael. Both of them's name's Michael. Amen. And I'm telling you, these fellows have worked, amen, for a living. It had a well-deserved reputation for apathy and immorality. Isn't that something how most of these cities, God has a church. Sometimes we think this thing's all of a sudden got bad, you know, in our... But if you look through history, honey, man that's born of a woman, say amen. Amen. That sin, it started in Cain and Abel. That sin nature, amen, it just gets revealed. I know it started with Adam and Eve, but I mean it was revealed in Cain and Abel in a mighty way. They had a reputation for that just apathy, just laid back. In Sardis, there was a large stately temple to the mother goddess. And I think you say this, Cybele. It's C-Y-B-E-L-E. And from the ruins of that temple, they had columns that were 60 feet high. Now listen to this, and 6 feet through. Amen. Those are big columns if you don't know it. Amen. And so they went all out. The mother goddess was honored and worshipped with all kinds of sexual immorality and impurity. You say, "Pastor, I don't know why you'd even bring up things like that." I'm just wanting to tell you, beloved, that in every generation, God has a church. Amen. He has a group of people, a remnant, amen, that right in the middle of the hog slop desire the things of God and the righteousness of God. There was a lack of discipline and a lack of dedication, and it ended up being the doom of Sardis. King Cyrus, he came to Sardis, and I didn't know this, but he found the position of the city was ideal for defense. There was no way to get into the city. It was up high. There was no way to get in. So he offered his soldiers, he offered them a reward, a lot of money to find a way to penetrate this city. And one of the soldiers was watching one of the watchmen on the wall, and he dropped his helmet. And he dropped his helmet. When he dropped his helmet, he climbed down, and there was a path down to the bottom that was not revealed before, a path down through the rocks. And so this soldier watched him, and that night, while they were asleep, amen, they followed that path right up and went over the wall and defeated them. The enemy attacked and conquered them because they were overconfident. They thought more highly of themselves than they ought to think. Now I promise you this, any church or any individual that gets to thinking more highly of themselves than they ought to think is fixing to be conquered, amen, by the enemy. The Bible said, "And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God, the seven stars. I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and art dead." I want to say tonight, wouldn't that be a sad state of affairs? Amen. To have a name, to have a reputation. That it's busy, busy, busy. It looks like things are happening. And yet, in the sight of God, He knows what's alive and He knows what's dead. Amen. And the Bible said here, talks about the seven spirits of God, the seven stars. It's the number of completion in the Word of God. And He said, "I know thy works." I don't know why I didn't pick up on this until today. But if you go back to chapter number 2, look in verse number 2, talking about the church at Ephesus. "I know thy works and thy labor." Look at talking about Smyrna. Look here in verse number 9. I know thy works and tribulation. Look in about Pergamos now in verse number 13. I know thy works. If you come on down here and look at Thyatira where we were last Wednesday night in verse 19. I know thy works. And isn't that something? You know, some people that are grace, they understand that we're saved by grace. They don't put enough emphasis on works. And then some people that believe you're working your way to heaven don't put enough emphasis on grace. Amen. But the Word of God said, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But the next verse says we're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. The easiest way I know to say it is this. We do not believe in a work salvation, but we do believe in a salvation that works. The Word of God said in the book of James, faith without works is dead, being alone. I don't know about you, but I don't think it's very healthy to trust a dead faith to take you to heaven. Amen. If what I had didn't make me want to do something for God, I'd worry about what I had. Amen. Jesus over and over, He says, I know thy works. And then you come down here to Sardis. He says, I know thy works. And you get to Philadelphia in verse number 8 of chapter 3. I know thy works. And you come over here at Laodicea in chapter number 3 and verse 15. I know thy works. I thought that was worthy of pointing out. Jesus, listen, He knows how that we're saved. If we're saved, we're saved by the grace of God. But I'm going to tell you what, the Bible said, let your light so shine that men may see what? The grace of God? No, that's not, that men may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. A lot of people, they use it for a cop-out. They'll say, well, God knows my heart. Yes, He does. But your neighbor don't know your heart. And your neighbor can't see your heart. The people you work with can't see your heart. All they can see is a reflection of your heart, amen, that comes to the outside. I got to meet a nurse the other night at the hospital, and I'm praying for her. She told me she got saved. We didn't have the opportunity to be thorough, but she told me that she got saved a year ago when her brother was killed in a lawnmower accident. I'm going back. I'm going back and thanking her for caring for Sister Shelby. And I'm going to go back and maybe catch her on a break or a lunch break or something. We're going to be thorough. Amen. I'm just telling you, beloved, listen. She saw something in my life, amen, that caused her to be interested in the things of God. I'm not boasting. Listen, I like what the preacher said Sunday night. If there's any good thing about me, Jesus is responsible for it. And the same goes for you. I know thy works. He said this to each church. And He also said it to the church here at Sardis. It was busy. I believe they probably had meetings and committees and the promotion and publicity. Something going on all the time. But that doesn't mean there's life. When you look at Martha and Mary, you would have been impressed with Martha. I would have been impressed with Martha. But Jesus was impressed with Mary. She took the time to sit at His feet and to hear His word. I believe that they had a name that they lived. They had a reputation that they were wide awake. And yet God said they were dead. That I'm telling you, there's nothing in this scripture that indicates that they were in a fight of some kind or any persecution going on. It wasn't that the church at Sardis was losing the battle, because a dead body has already lost the battle. He said, you have a name that you live and aren't dead. You say, now, Pastor, I wouldn't say that about a church. I didn't. Jesus did. Jesus knows the difference. Say amen. You and I may not be able to tell the difference, but when He examines the church, He knows the difference. When He examines our homes, when He examines our hearts,
He knows the difference. Amen. The church in Sardis, when I read this, I thought to myself, my. They presented no significant threat to the devil and his program on earth. In other words, beloved, I heard somebody say one time, does the devil yawn when your feet hit the floor in the morning? Amen. No, nothing going to happen there. Or does it bother him? Amen. Because he knows you're going to try your best to be a reflection of God's goodness and God's grace. Someone said they were a perfect model of that inoffensive Christianity. I couldn't help but think about Smiley in Texas. Amen. When I read that, why don't you preach on sin? Oh, that's not in my lane. Amen. Somebody needs to change lanes. Amen. And they don't even need to give a signal. Say amen. They need to change lanes. If you're going to preach the whole counsel of God, listen, it's not all positive. Amen. There's some negatives in this book, and God wants us to preach it all. He said, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Their spiritual condition of the church there in Sardis was bad. But I love this. It wasn't hopeless. God was still on the throne that Brother Jason talked about a while ago. And I read this years and years ago. God allows U-turns. Amen. A church can be going the wrong way and God will allow that church to turn around. An individual can be going the wrong way and God will allow that individual to turn around. He is a God that allows U-turns. Their condition was bad, but it wasn't hopeless. There were things which remained that could be strengthened. Let me say this to you tonight. I got to thinking about this. I actually did Brother John, you'd like this. I did a Google search yesterday on building muscle after 65. I was worried about Brother Chris. Amen. Amen. You know something? There's some things. Listen, your diet is important if you're going to build muscle. They told me how much, but you need a whole lot of protein, amen, if you're going to build muscle. And then you've got to break the muscles down. You've got to exercise, amen. I know y'all think I'm crazy, but there's an application here, amen. If the church is going to strengthen the things that remains, it's got to eat right. And it's got to do right. It's got to exercise, amen, those things that God, listen, has told us that are good for the body of Christ. And it was late. They were ready to die. But I like this. It wasn't too late. Amen. If you're living and you're breathing, amen, it's not too late, amen, to make some adjustments and let God help you, amen. The Word of God said in 1 Thessalonians 2:13, for this cause also we thank God without ceasing, because when we received the Word of God, which you heard of us, when ye received the Word of God, which you heard of us, ye received it not as the Word of men, but as it is in truth, the Word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. Aren't you glad the Word of God still works? It still works. There's no substitute for it. Amen. No wonder that the Apostle Paul told Timothy, preach the Word. Preach the Word. Listen to this. Winston Churchill, he said to Britain in the early days of World War II, he said, I must drop one word of caution, for next to cowardice and treachery, overconfidence leading to neglect and slothfulness is the worst of wartime crimes. Overconfidence, thinking we got this. The Bible said of Laodicea, we'll get to it later, they said we have need of nothing. How many believes that song, we need thee every hour, most precious Lord. Amen. We can't do it without him. Jesus has already told us. He said, without me, you can do nothing. And then Paul flips the coin over and he says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So it's Christ that makes the difference. He said, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. We know that we've received Christ as our Savior, and we know that there's some things that we need to hold on to, and we also know there'll be some times in our life when the Word of God said judgment must first begin at the house of God. Even in the Lord's Supper, that's supposed to be a time of self-examination. We're supposed to examine ourselves, amen, that we wouldn't be judged with the world. We're supposed to judge ourselves, and we're supposed to repent. God tells us that in the Word of God. He said, if you don't watch, therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief. Thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. Listen tonight. I think 2020 or 2021, they broke into my house. And I promise you, had I known the thieves were coming, I would have been prepared. Amen. But I didn't know they were coming. And that's what Jesus is saying here. He's saying, you better listen. You better wake up. And you better understand that just like you snap your fingers, it can be too late, amen, to turn the ship around, amen. Too late to make that change. Too late to repent. I believe it's important that we understand that God has some things in each one of these churches that He wants us to learn from. A wise man, he learns from his mistakes. How many's ever made some mistakes and you learned from them? You know, your wife is telling you, you ought to read the directions. Yeah, but I got all these tools and wrenches and nowadays even battery-powered tools. It makes the job go faster. Brother Vince put that machine together for us that we put the tar in the cracks with, and Matthew said, it'll be the grace of God if it's put together right. Amen. I will say one thing, brother. You may have followed the directions, but you know that lever that goes like this? I had to keep tightening and keep tightening and keep tightening. I just stopped. I don't know what the directions said, but this old country boy used some common sense and took it apart, put it together another way, and it ain't moved since. Amen. Amen. I'd say Brother Vince followed the directions. Amen. Tonight, God wants us to understand He's coming. He's going to come quickly. We need to be about His business. Watch this now. He said, thou hast a few names in Sardis which have not defiled their garments. I want to contrast something tonight. Look at Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 14. He said, here I have a few things against thee, because there hath them there that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block. And then if you look in Revelation chapter 2 and verse number 20, notwithstanding I have a few things against thee. In these two churches, there were just a few things that were wrong. In the church of Sardis, there's just a few that's right. It's flipped. You understand what I'm saying there? And I believe, listen, that God is saying as long as there are just a few that's right, you can turn that thing around, amen. You can strengthen the things that remain, amen. I don't know about you, but I think that God wants to speak to us. White in the Word of God here, He said, they're going to walk with me in white, for they are worthy. It speaks of the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. But, beloved, that's the only thing that makes us worthy tonight. Nothing else makes us worthy, amen. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain. And then the Word of God tells us again, he that overcometh, that the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Some would take that and say, well, it would be possible for God to blot out our name out of the book of life. And we know better than that. He said, I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess him before my Father. The Lord wants us to overcome, but he wants us to understand there's only one way. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We will never overcome by trying. We'll only overcome by trusting. Amen. It's trusting God that will produce those good works in our heart and in our life. And then he closes to the church at Sardis. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Did you know tonight there's something more important than our reputation here at Bible Way? This church had a reputation that they lived. But Jesus said, thou art dead. Amen. We need to be more concerned about what he knows. Remember, he said it over and over and over. I know thy works. I know thy works. I know thy works. We need to be much more concerned about what God knows than what others think. Amen? Amen. Much more concerned. As an individual, that'll help you on your job. You be concerned about what God knows, not what others think. Amen. You be concerned about what pleases the Lord. And let the rest of it just fall where it may. Amen. I'm just glad you come tonight.